and welcome to this ASI podcast series. Today, I'll be speaking with Cameron Jones, Director of Assurance and Risk. Cam, what hot topics are we going to be discussing today?
Hi, Rhiannon, and thanks for having me again. Yeah, look, I wanted to talk today with you about the best way of approaching an audit with respect to doing your homework, the planning process. It's almost as important as the audit itself. So getting your homework done, getting your mindset right before you head out onto site.
Great. So I think putting myself into the mindset of an auditor who is going to an entity for the first time, what's the best things I could do to prepare for that? How can I get all my ducks in a row?
I don't know where to start. There's so many things you can actually do. And this is also why it's important that auditors need to factor this in with respect to time and budget as well too. But one of the best resources is something that the entity has already done for you, and that's their self-assessment. There's a wealth of information that the entity has spent 3, 6, 12 months, maybe even more, putting together piece by piece, criteria by criteria, all the information that is relevant to your audit with respect to what the entity is doing, and more importantly, links to documents, attached documents, PDFs, Excel database spreadsheets, website links, and so forth. So there's a lot of hard work that the entity has done in their self-assessment on Elemental that you are actually formally requested to review yourselves before you head out on the site. So that's the number one. Now, I may be stating the obvious there because the auditors always do that, but you can do it and you can do it properly. And doing properly means spending a fair bit of time going through that and making your own notes, looking at the attachments, even following up with the entity and asking questions before the audit started. There's no reason why you can't do that. Open the dialogue first. Don't hold all your questions so they're there to go on day one of the on-site audit. You can do this beforehand. But again, I stress the importance of going through that self-assessment in fine detail. Mm-hmm. We've received some feedback from just a few members recently where they've felt that the audit team may not have spent the appropriate amount of time looking through the self-assessment. They've flicked through it, they've glossed through it, spent half an hour or so flicking through it and going, yeah, looks pretty complete. I see that. Great. I'm ready for the audit. Now, I appreciate we're all busy people. And I said this also too on our previous podcast, Rhiannon. We are all busy and the auditors, you're out traveling. You're going from one site to the next, sometimes one country to another country. Do appreciate. But with appropriate pre-audit planning with respect to time as well, is to make sure that you're spending the appropriate time going through the self-assessment. And again, as I just said too, going back and asking questions and making sure you're really armed with a wealth of information on the site before you start the on-site component of the audit.
Okay, so as an auditor, are there any areas that I should focus on? Maybe let's look at just one, because it's quite a big thing. So what's one area that I could focus on when looking at an entity's self-assessment?
Yeah, Rhiannon, I'm glad you just said one because there are a lot. So thank you for letting us just focus on one. And the one that springs to mind, and again, I'm putting my assurance hat on here because it does make up almost the majority of our queries during the oversight process for an audit, are the disclosure pieces. It's those policies, codes, registers, sustainability reports, data, emissions reduction pathways, decarbonisation plans, biodiversity management plans, and so on and so on, modern slavery statements. Time and time again, we're asking post-audit, where's the disclosure of this? And it's very clear in the standard where disclosure is required. So this is a great chance for you as an auditor before the audit is to actually tick a lot of that off and go, right, the site needs this. They need that. That needs to be disclosed. So if the entity has done an appropriate job in their self-assessment, there should be a hyperlink there ready to go. So you can quite easily do that check and go, great, good, disclosure's done. And while you're at it, have a look. Don't just say there's a link there. Make sure the link's working. And most importantly, open up the document and check it. Great, there's a link to their modern slavery statement. Let's have a look. It's standalone, signed off by the managing director or CEO. It's dated. It's 12 months old, it's appropriate level of detail. Good, I don't need to ask that now on site. We move on and we're not going to get harassed by the assurance team during oversight asking about where the modern slavery statement is. We're done. We can see it. The link is there. So again, Rhiannon, yeah, the the lack of the disclosure is it's low hanging fruit. It's an easy win for you as an auditor to get that out of the way before you even head to site. And again, more often than not, will lead to less queries and harassment from us in the assurance team post audit when we're reviewing your report.
Great tip there. So check and double check again. I think that's a great one. So is there anything else that auditors can use to prepare them in advance of the audit? Are there external sites they could maybe use to help them weigh things up before they actually get on site?
Oh, plenty, Rhiannon. And again, I've got to make sure I don't go on too long here too. And and I think you as experienced auditors out there, and actually for anyone from an entity who's listening to our discussion now too, there's so many free, relevant, and actually regularly updated resources out there on the internet that are great for pre-audit planning and actually for preparing self-assessments and so forth, for example, too, and the requirements under the standard. But issues around governance, you can look at Transparency International. There's a list of CARAs, the conflict affected and high risk areas as well. There's, when you're looking at water, you've got the World Resources Institute, the Water Risk Atlas. There's another Water Scarcity Atlas. For biodiversity, there's a trove of different databases, lots and lots of data that you can look at. And these interfaces are a lot more user-friendly than they might have been 10 years ago too. So they're quite easy to navigate around. Invariably, there actually are in different languages too. So you can select your native tongue to help you navigate these as well. You know, the IBAT tool, there's the IUCN Red List for endangered species. And then when you're going further into the Indigenous space as well too, there's an Indigenous World Report that's updated annually in terms of every area around the world where there is that Indigenous presence, and will give you an overview of the specific issues and cultural sensitivities and current topics in those particular parts of the world as well. Then moving into issues are closer to home with respect to being on site, you know, gender inequality, there's a gender index, there's a modern slavery index that I think is done by the Global Slavery Index. Even Human Rights Watch too have got some good regional overviews with respect to the human rights setting. So look, for the majority of audits that are occurring out there, a lot of this may not be terribly relevant, but it's still worth a look, particularly if you are heading to site for the first time. And if you are going to audit an ASI entity in an area where there are elevated risks in these particular areas.
Thanks for that, Cam. There's some really good information there. And I think there's some really useful tips for auditors. So on the topic of tips, do you have any final tips? Anything an auditor can do prior to reaching the site? Is there one final thing that you think, yeah, this is a really good thing to look at before you reach the entity themselves?
Yeah, and I'm going to lean on a personal experience of mine too, in a past life as an auditor myself, where I engaged or looked at Google Earth. Now, Google Earth is your friend. It is free. And you can only, we could have only dreamed of it 30 years ago that we'd have access to free satellite imaging. And we all do now, of course. And this was an audit that we're looking at, and I wanted to just get an overview of the site. And sure enough, on Google Earth, I saw what looked to be, and the resolution wasn't great, but it was pretty clear to the trained eye, hundreds and hundreds of 44-gallon drums to be sitting on what looked like bare earth. And we'd finished the site walkover, and our site host, she was taking us back into morning tea, into the crib room. And I just said to her, look, can we just go around the corner here? I just wanted to have a look around the corner. And she sort of said, why? I played a little dumb and didn't say anything. And then sure enough, we walked around and she was looking a little bit coy. And I just said, no, I want to head here. And sure enough, there were hundreds of 44-gallon drums on an unbunded earthen area, leaking solvents, hydrocarbons, God knows what else. And sure enough, bang, a major non-conformance. All from actually just having a look at a free satellite image on Google Earth.
Wow, that's a top tip there. Google Earth for the win. That's great. Okay, well, thank you so much, Cam. I think it's time to wrap up this discussion today. But maybe you could join me for another discussion where we could talk about what auditors can do when they actually get to the site and things, some tips and advice for when they're with the entity on their site having a look around. Does that sound good?
Yeah, no, certainly looking forward to it.
Thank you so much, Cam. I really appreciate your time today.